Good morning, 8:07 on WMAL, where Washington comes to talk. Vince Colonnais sitting alongside Sarah Westwood in for the vacationing Mary Walter this morning. Sarah, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for doing this. And also coming up, Kathy McMorris Rogers is going to join us at 8:35 this morning. But right now, joined by Tucker Carlson, anchor of Tucker Carlson Tonight on the Fox News Channel, the appropriately named Tucker Carlson Tonight. Good morning, Tucker.
Hey, Vince. Good morning.
Nice to have you here, sir. Yeah, I want to talk about your show a little bit, which, by the way, congratulations. We're seeing ratings numbers yet again coming in. You and Hannity, the most watched cable news programs in February. I know you care about that. You did it. You've done well. So congratulations.
Well, thank you. And you named the show. Vince Colonnais came up with the name of the show.
Yeah. It was the easiest name in the world to come up with.
Well, I know, but I didn't come up with it. You did. So I'm grateful for that tonight.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm going to start appending tonight to everything I say, just to name it. all right, Tucker, you've got on that Tucker Carlson Tonight program, you've got a plan which is definitely unique. You're blazing a trail because no one else in the media is going to do a story on men and the culture in America, and yet you are. Why is that? What is it about?
Well, we're doing the month of March. Every week we're doing a month-long series on what's going on with men, the decline of men. I've got, you know, a number of children, male and female, and they've grown up now, and I noticed for the last 10 years that all of my girls' friends are sort of right on target. They're all going to Stanford, and they have a plan, and a lot of my son's friends are smoking weed and playing video games. And so I sort of looked into this, and the numbers show a striking and growing disparity between how men and women are doing. I mean, pick a measurement. Girls are much more likely to go to college and graduate. The strong majority of PhDs are given to women. The majority of managers are women. Women get more driver's licenses. Single women buy homes at twice the rate of single men. I mean, just women's IQs are rising faster than men. There are a lot of ways to measure this. So when you really dig down, you see that not only are women pulling ahead, and that's great, I've got three daughters, I'm for it, but men are really stagnating. The male suicide rate, vastly higher than the female one and growing. The OD rates, over 70% of all drug ODs are men. And you sort of wonder, like, what is going on here, and how long has this been going on? And so we're digging into it now, but the truth is it's been going on for at least 20 years. And for a bunch of different reasons, some of them political, it's being ignored. And it's bad for everyone. I mean, my gut instinct is if you create a society in which expressions of masculinity are banned and punished starting at a young age when boys who act traditionally male are medicated so they will act less male, there are consequences to that. You hurt people when you do that, and you hurt your society. By the way, you hurt women when you do that because men and women need each other, and women need good men, and so you want to produce as many as you can. And it's a very complex problem. I don't fully understand it. I don't want to pretend that I do, but I know that it is a problem, and it's being ignored, and it shouldn't be.
You know, when you talk to kind of people about, you hear all the time from people who express like how things have changed since they were kids. And it seems like as a culture, kind of to your point, that for boys, things have become much more restrictive, whereas for girls, they've become much more permissive. So this notion that for young boys, you know, you talk to anybody's parents, talk about like the incidents of, say, just like average fist fights that might happen on a school campus. Nobody thought of it as a big deal. It wasn't like anybody was bringing weapons. Everyone left, you know, a couple bruises, a couple scrapes, but, you know, there was a winner and there was a loser and everyone kind of walked away. Everybody fine. Nowadays, that's a felony. I mean, we're getting to the point where we're over-litigating this stuff, and everything is, there's like actually no ways to get these sort of like nonsense aggressions out as a child.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, look, I'm against violence. I'm not, you know, in any way endorsing violent behavior. I don't like it. On the other hand, you know, if you said to girls that femininity was wrong and that their kind of instinctive expressions of being female were bad and you were going to punish them for that, you would really warp and damage women. And by the way, that is a real, like, there are cultures that do that in the Middle East or Pakistan where women are crushed for being women. And nobody thinks that's a good thing. Well, we're creating the mirror image of that in our country. And it's really, really hurting people. And again, I think it's more complicated than that. I mean, there are probably a lot of things going on here, but that's definitely one of them.
Well, I can tell you, you're going to have, I'm sure you're going to have debates on this subject on your show, and you'll have liberals on there who are kind of going to lean into the classic arguments that they've been making, at least over the last decade, which is, this is silly. Men, especially white men, have all the privilege. Everyone else is disadvantaged, and they need to be given more opportunities. It's men who have got all the money, they've got all the advantages. What are you complaining about, Tucker?
Well, I would say to them, look, drive from Washington, D.C. to Pittsburgh one day during the day and look out the window as you do and tell me if this thing called white privilege is real. I mean, let's be actually the only group in America whose life expectancy is shrinking is working class white Americans. Now, I'm not doing the victim thing here. I'm just saying those are what the numbers tell us. Those are the data. So let's stop lying and let's stop letting our political beliefs or our instinct for power get in the way of acknowledging reality. And the reality is that there are huge sections of our country that are hurting. By the way, that's why Trump got elected. Happy countries don't elect Donald Trump president. Desperate countries do. And this country's really desperate in a lot of ways. And the demographic that's under attack is in trouble. I mean, it's just like, The social science shows that. This is not like I'm not standing up for white men because I'm a white man. I don't feel that way. I don't believe in tribalism at all. I'm just telling you that the numbers show it. And by the way, a normal, healthy society would look at the suicide rate for men, and it's by far the highest for white men, it is, and say, wow, we've got a problem. And by the way, if you're 50 years old, ask anybody who is 50 years old, ask a simple question. Do you know anyone who's killed himself in the last 3 or 4 years? And you won't find someone who says no, because the suicide rate is really high for that group, really high. So what is that? It's not a sign of health. It's a sign of disintegration.
In the political conversation, you know, one of the considerations is the Democrats have missed this. And that's, you mentioned this is the reason Trump was elected. We've seen in the last 24 hours a new story about the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, in the hours after the Vegas shooting, encouraged its members not to politicize the tragedy, but instead to you know, issue thoughts and prayers and just kind of like wait to see what had happened before they issue statements. Yet it seems the Democratic Party is kind of being pulled by its own radicalism on the left in order to engage in these subjects in a way that doesn't necessarily connect with Americans in the middle of the country.
Well, that's totally true. And by the way, the DCCC advice was wise advice and humane advice. And I, you know, advice that we could all use, which is slow down and, you know, like let the tragedy sink in before you try to make a talking point out of it. Mm-hmm. But look, the Democratic Party, like the Republican Party, like all parties in a democracy, is dragged forward by its own voters. I mean, that's what democracy is, actually. And it's sometimes good and sometimes bad. But in this specific case, the Democratic base is far more radical than the Democrats in Washington. So if you look at Chuck Schumer and think he's the worst person in the world, boy, you don't have perspective, because Chuck Schumer is actually the most moderate Democrat yep. you're going to meet.
Yeah, Dianne.
And we're going to find that out in the midterm.
Dianne Feinstein finding that out right now in California as Democrats in the state refuse to endorse her. I want to talk more about the politics of everything that's going on now back in Washington in a moment. We're going to hold Tucker Carlson here. At first, we're going to get you to traffic, 8:15. All right, we're chatting with Tucker Carlson of the Fox News Channel. Tucker, the gun debate now raging on in Washington, D.C., because the president's set to have a bipartisan meeting today with members of Congress to discuss steps forward. Now, we've heard a couple things come out of the White House in the direction of actually gun restrictions, the idea of raising the age to 21 at which to purchase a gun. Sort of, what do you make of the White House's position so far in all of this?
I mean, they've been, look, I mean, ask yourself, have Republicans moved from their traditional position? Yes. Have Democrats? Not one inch. So in the wake of a shooting like this, the obvious question is not, how did he do it? We know that. He did it with a firearm. The question is, why did he do it? Why would a 19-year-old want to kill 17 strangers? Why would you do something like that? What about our society is producing people who want to kill strangers in public? Not about how. It's like the question after 9/11. It's like, why would they do this? Why did 19 hijackers die in order to kill 3,000 Americans? Like, why did that happen?
Right.
No one even considered it, really. You know, because they hate our freedoms. Oh, yeah, okay, good answer. Like, we have a problem as a society with facing the most basic and essential and important question, which is why?
Well, look at Vegas. Look at Las Vegas. We don't know anything about Vegas still, and there's, like, a total lack of curiosity about it.
All we know is that he had some kind of stupid bump stock. Anybody knows anything about guns will tell you a bump stock, it sounds scary. It makes your gun less accurate. Okay, fine, ban bump stock. Is that going to save a single life? No, nobody even thinks it. It's purely a cosmetic palliative designed to make the rest of us not think about why this is happening in the first place. So, yeah, whatever, raise the age or make up some stupid solution nobody really believes in and call it a day and pretend you accomplished something. But where's the conversation about why this is happening? Look, I don't know the answer. I've got a lot of theories on it. But the fact there's no conversation and Democrats are totally resistant to even having one and Republicans are like too afraid and dumb to even talk about it, it's actually terrifying because a society that can't ask the essential questions, can't even talk about them, is a truly dysfunctional society. It freaks me out thinking about it, actually.
Well, Tucker, I wanted to ask you about the Parkland shooting survivors, because obviously they've been some really effective spokespeople for this gun control movement right now. And there's a school of thought on the left that if you rebut the Parkland school shooting survivors, then you're somehow smearing them or you're attacking them and that they're off limits. What do you think about how Republicans can go about not criticizing those children, but rebutting their ideas?
I mean, I think it's probably best just to kind of make a rational case without reference to, you know, who's making the counter case. In other words, you know, everyone feels terrible for the survivors of that and certainly for the victims. It doesn't, of course, mean that they have a right to make public policy for the rest of us, you know, without any kind of input from like the other 320 million Americans who live here. I think it's probably best not to engage as a tactical matter. But again, I think wise leaders have an obligation to push the conversation back to where it needs to be, which is what has gone wrong that this is happening. I mean, there has been an absolute increase in mass shooting. It's not because there are more weapons. There aren't. Fewer households have them. The AR-15 has been around for more than 50 years, commercially available. This was not a feature of my childhood, these shootings. It is a feature of our modern life. So what the hell? Let's just like rationally, as social scientists, let's assess this. And what is it? What has changed? It's not gun ownership. It's something else. And nobody can even, I don't know. Do you think that's demented that we're not having that conversation?
Completely. Completely. Well, I mean, some are. We've attempted to here, and I know you do it frequently. But you're right. As a society, it's not even the beginning of a conversation on that subject. I want to, you know, touch on, she mentioned, Sarah mentioned the Parkland teens, the survivors here. We know that it's not just them, though. There are voices who are involved here that are exploiting them. And you've got Bloomberg's groups, gun control groups, who are clearly out now. BuzzFeed News with a report on this in the last 24 hours about how they are helping to support them logistically and with facts, all sorts of things, in order to help them with their gun control push. And also, you had CNN's Jeff Zucker in the last 24 hours claiming that their network town hall last week featuring survivors of the Parkland, Florida shooting, quote, presented both sides and that criticism of the event as a gun control rally is silly.
Well, I mean, I think on the subject of guns, you make a huge mistake if you imagine that the other side is acting in good faith. I mean, if you really cared about reducing so-called gun violence, you would use the data to inform your position. And
yes,
you would say we had, for example, an assault weapons ban for 10 years. It was studied exhaustively. It didn't work. There's no debate about that. So maybe we need a new solution. But they're still talking about it. So maybe the goal isn't to reduce gun violence. Maybe the goal is to control the population. And that's clearly the goal. I mean, I do this debate every night, and I don't want to believe that, but I, after long experience, 15 years of arguing this, I believe that the gun control side is interested in disarming the population for reasons other than making it safer. I don't think you can reach another conclusion. So, like, I don't even play along anymore. I mean, the truth is they're not serious about this subject. They don't actually know the facts. They don't want to learn the facts. They just don't think you ought to have a gun. Only people in authority ought to be armed. That's their view.
So this is why there are no gun beats, let's say, at your average daily newspaper, because nobody actually cares to follow them.
Well, they don't know anything about guns, and they don't. Look, if you really cared, you would be rational about it, but they're not. They just don't think. They think that the people in charge should be armed. You should be wholly dependent upon those people for your safety. And they just disagree. Like, they're authoritarian in their outlook, obviously. I mean, I'm not attacking anybody. I'm just noting what, if you were from another planet and watching this debate, you'd be like, oh, one side doesn't believe that the population ought to be able to defend itself and ought to be autonomous enough to be armed. Like, that's what they believe. It's really clear.
Yeah. Have you found, in the 15 seconds we have left, have you found, as you've been debating this, that liberals are more willing to admit that position now?
I think they are. When they talk about Australia, they're not talking about a buyback program. That wasn't what it was. It was gun confiscation. It was the disarming of the civilian population. Yes. That's what they want. They're saying it. I'm glad they're saying it, because that's true.
All right. Tucker Carlson, you can catch him every night at 8 o'clock. The ratings are great. Keep keeping them great. Thank you, Tucker. Really appreciate it, sir.
Thanks a million, Stephen.
8:24 now on WMAL.